Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, luckily for you guys tonight, my iPad's on 21%. So guess what that means? It's going to be short and sweet. I'm just kidding. Tonight, I feel like I got a word from the Lord. And of course, as every minister knows, when you first get up here, you're a little nervous. When I first got to church, I was really nervous. Until the first key was struck on the keyboard. And then I kind of felt my nervousness just kind of wash away. Tonight I feel like there's something going to happen in this place that somebody's life is getting ready to be changed. And if we could turn to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. I promise I'm not going to read very much. I've just got four short verses for you tonight. And starting at verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and when by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But I want to focus on verse 4 here, and I want to focus on the first two words, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Tonight, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to you on this simple topic: guilty as charged, but God. If we could, go ahead and give another hand clap of praise unto the Lord tonight. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we magnify you tonight, God. We ask that you bless your word. We ask that your word falls upon good ground, that a seed can be planted. Lord, we're coming tonight with expectation that things are going to change in our lives tonight. Lord, we love you, we magnify you, and we exalt you in each and every way. We put your name on high tonight. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. First, I want to start out by giving you a story by a man named Jack Cunningham. I was actually scrolling on YouTube the other day at work. I was a little bored. And I seen this video of this man telling this story as he's preaching this sermon. And it's a story about him getting his hair cut. And this is how the story goes. "I went to get a haircut in my barber in St. Louis. It's very rare that he can get into his barber at St. Louis in the same place two different times." He said, "But when I get a chance to go to my barber in St. Louis, it's a treat." He said, I've had my hair cut in some of the most horrible places you could imagine on earth. "I got my hair cut in Scotland, and the barber started talking about Margaret Thatcher, and I thought he liked her, but found out that he actually didn't really like her. The more I talked about her, the more he cut my hair." He said, "I called my barber and asked if they could get me in, and they said, yeah, come this afternoon. So I went to the barber shop, so happy and pleased I was going to get a good haircut from a barber I actually trust. When it came time for my appointment, the receptionist came out and said, 'Mr. Cunningham, I'm so sorry, but your barber actually is not here today. He had to leave on an emergency. He's not here today, but Julie can cut your hair if you would like.' He thought, well, I'm here, I need a haircut, so yeah, Julie will be just fine. About 2 minutes later, a young girl stepped around the partition. She has hair that's sticking straight up in spikes. Some of it was purple, some of it was blue, some of it was yellow, some of it was orange, and that girl must have had 100 different piercings in her face, all around her ears, her lips, her nose, and the sides of her eyes. She was all pierced up, and under the piercing, she had all types of paintings. She had polka dot pants on and a plaid shirt. She had on two different color socks, and her shoes didn't even match. She said, 'I'm Julie, are you Jack?' So, well, if it wasn't for wanting to please God, I would have probably said, no, ma'am, Jack told me that he had to leave on an emergency. He thought, well, I'll just endure it. So I went and sat down, and I did like I often do. I thought, I'll just go to sleep. I'll just sit here and close my eyes and rest while this girl cuts my hair. And God, I hope she hurries up. There couldn't be anything in the world that her and I have in common. There couldn't be anything on earth her and I would want to talk about. She wouldn't want to hear anything that I have to say, and I certainly don't want to hear anything she has to say. He said, I apologize, but that's just what was going through his mind. While she was cutting my hair, she said, where do you work? He said, well, I work over here at the World Evangelism Center. Just go to the end of I-70, right where it butts up to 270 in that big building right there. She said, oh, yeah, I was just there the other day. He said, you were at the World Evangelism Center the other day? She said, yeah, you have a bookstore in there, don't you? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, you see, my mama is a cocaine addict. My uncle is a hopeless cocaine addict. She said, somebody gave my mama one of those videos from the Left Behind. And she said, well, we all sat down in the living room and we all watched it together. She said, I don't know nothing about God. I don't know nothing about the church. I don't know nothing about the Bible. But she said, when I finished watching it, there was one thing that I did know. I knew I didn't want to go to hell. She said, I went to your bookstore and I actually bought a Bible. I don't know how else to find anything out about God. She said, I bought a Bible and I'm going to start reading it through. She said, I've had it for 2 days and I've already read. She started naming off some of the books that she had already read from. And she said, I don't understand anything about it. And when I looked in the mirror, tears are streaming down her face. The other people that are cutting hair have quit actually cutting hair and now we're listening to this young girl talk. Some of them have tears in their eyes as well. And when I got up out of that chair, I said, Julie, I want to apologize to you for not telling you about Jesus. But if you would stay here, I'm going to go to my office and get a Bible study. And me and you are going to go out there and sit on that park bench. And I'm going to give you a Bible study and help you know about Jesus. The reason I'm telling you this story tonight is because a man on a busy day went to get his hair cut at a barber. He wasn't there. He hadn't been there before by this barber. Thinking it was any normal haircut that he was due for. The man didn't think anything about his barber not being there due to an emergency. At first, he didn't want to get his hair cut by this young woman because she didn't look the part. He didn't want to get his hair cut by this young woman because she didn't fit his criteria. But God had a different plan. God said, in the midst of all your judgment, I'm going to show myself true. God put a young woman before him to cut his hair, knowing she didn't fit his criteria, knowing they didn't have anything in common, knowing it may seem awkward at first, but God. You see, we don't have a right to determine who can hear and who can't. Anybody in here have a but God testimony tonight? Something you thought you were never going to make it out of, but God had a different plan. I have 2 points as we go through this message tonight because the movements of the first part of chapter 2 of Ephesians reminds me, first of all, of the tragedy of our reality. Somebody say tragedy. The tragedy of our reality. If your Bible is still open, you will find out in verses 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. Your Bible says that we were dead in transgression and sins. I want you to look at the picture that Paul is pointing to the Gentile church or to the Gentile Christians tonight. He says, listen, because our transgressions and sins, we are literally the walking dead. We are dead in transgressions and sins. That dead in the Greek literally means separated, excommunicated from a relationship with God. We were pulled away. We were disconnected from the one who we became because of our transgressions and sins. So let me unpack that for you. That word transgression is a unique word. It literally means that which is a which is a fault of the individual. It is the individual who is at fault, which literally means you are at fault. I intentionally and willfully crossed the line. If everybody would be honest this Tuesday night, it doesn't matter your age or stage of life. If you were conscious enough to know the rules, the truth of the matter is all of us have intentionally or willfully crossed the line at some point. We knew the boundary. We knew where we were not supposed to go, but all of us have crossed the line. Everybody under the sound of my voice has at some point has made some mistake and sinned in some type of way that was a transgression. There's another word that Paul uses. It's not the word transgression. It is a martia. Martia is sin. That's the word sin he uses, transgression and sin. Sin is defined there as willful and continual missing the mark. It's almost as if I meant to do better, but I messed up along the way. It's like when Paul says it in the book of Romans, he says, when I would go, evil was always present with me. Someone can testify, you had the best intentions, but some kind of way you got pulled away from the intention that you were supposed to have. You have found out you were stuck into sin. Is there anybody in here tonight that would say, I really got up planning to be a good apostolic? I mean, I went to work planning not to get upset at them people. Went to work intending to be a nice person. I was going to keep my mouth closed and be real sweet and kind. But then they said the wrong thing to me and I missed my mark. Everybody can testify we're guilty of our transgressions and sins. And the Bible says as a consequence of those transgressions and sins, we are dead. We were pulled away from the plan, purpose, and prime policies of God in our lives. That we were doing that we should not have done. And doing it regularly and continually. For three verses, Paul says that the Gentiles were doing that. Then he says, it was not just the Gentiles, but likewise the Jews. Those chosen people, all of us have made some mistakes. All of us have done some wrong things. Sin is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter who you are, you're guilty. It doesn't matter what your title is, you're guilty. It doesn't matter if you're holding a microphone, you're guilty. It doesn't matter if you've been ushering the door for the last 65 years, you're guilty. Doesn't matter if nobody knows your name and you sneak in and sneak out, you're guilty. You're guilty, you're guilty. Is there anybody in here that can thank God that sin equalizes us? So you don't have to be quiet during service because the person sitting next to you is just as guilty as the person sitting in your seat. Guilty, guilty, guilty as charged. Guilty as charged for three verses, Paul makes it crystal clear that everybody is guilty. But aren't you glad Paul didn't stop at just verse 3? Aren't you glad Paul didn't just stop at us being guilty? Because we go to verse 4, the first two words of verse 4 alone should make you want to get up and shout, because the first two words of verse 4 are, but God. I need somebody in here that has a but God testimony to help me begin part 2 of this message and testify. I'm so glad God stepped in. But God, but God, but God. Paul doesn't just spend his time on the tragedy of our reality. He knows. He now begins to talk about the second and final point of my message tonight. My second point of this message is about the truth of our redemption. I need some redeemed people in here to lean in just a little while longer. My iPad's on 17%, so we ain't going to go much longer tonight, I promise. If you lean in a little while longer, we're going to see that just how wonderful redemption truly is. Brothers and sisters, Paul starts in verse 4 reminding us, although we are dead in sins and transgression, God who is rich in mercy has made us alive again. I said that while he has talked about those first three verses in chapter 2, the sins and transgressions that had all of us bound, he hurriedly gets to verse 4 and says, but God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive again through Jesus Christ. Now, church family, this blesses me because it lets me know that I have the same experience that Jesus has had in regards to the crucifixion and the resurrection. That's the picture that Paul seeks to paint for us tonight. It is the picture of the fact that we have died and we were dead and we were separated, but then God raised us up again with Christ Jesus. That's the phrase he uses, with Christ. God picked us up even while we were still in the mire of a sinful activity. He raised us up again with Christ. He did not wait until you got it all together. He did not wait until you were showing up in church regularly. He did not wait until you were keeping all 10 commandments. He did not wait until you did unto others as you wanted to do them to do unto you. He looked beyond your faults and he saw your need and raised you up, made us alive again in Christ Jesus. Now, child of God, this is when it gets real good, because Paul begins to testify to the people of God that the way by which this happened should always bring you joy. Watch this. Because somebody ought to be asking a relevant question. Brother Weir, were we worthy enough to be raised up? Did we deserve to be raised up? And everybody's answer should be a resounding, clear-cut no. None of us were worthy. None of us deserved it. But if you look at verse 5, 7, and 8, you will find out why Paul wants everybody in the church at Ephesus and at Breaking Bread to rejoice. He says in three places that it is because the grace of God that we have access to this living experience. Church folks, don't know when to shout, because right there, you missed your mark. Verse 5, he says, by grace ye have been saved. Verse 7, it is God's incomparable grace that has raised us up. Verse 8, he says, by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works that anyone should boast. So Paul says three different times in this passage that it's because of grace we have the access that we have. Hear me, these preachers will tell you that when you find a word or phrase that is repeated in such close proximity, the writer is trying to get you to understand something that you could never understand. He said, listen here, if everybody on your row wants to condemn you because they know your business, you need to understand you are still the beneficiary of grace. If your mess goes public, you still ought to recognize you still have public grace. Maybe you don't know what grace is. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is when God gives you something you don't deserve. It is something you could never work for. It is something that you could never earn and something that you could never buy. I need 10 people in here to stand up and testify. I'm living on the gracious gifting of God. I can never earn it, pay for it, buy it, and never live long enough to deserve the grace of God, because God just says here. I'm going to hook my child up. Is there anybody in here who knows you're living in places you don't deserve to live in? You're driving in things that you don't deserve to drive. You have things that you do not deserve to have. Because God has gifted you with grace. Paul says it's incomparable. There's no comparison to it. The songwriter says it's amazing. It's unfathomable. It's so magnificent that we shall never get tired of celebrating God's grace. As a matter of fact, the word grace carries in the Greek is joy, which literally suggests that where grace has been received, joy shall be revealed. I love it because Paul says to be clear, you don't deserve this. He said, by grace you are saved through faith. I believe so because I got grace. Watch the next phrase. Not of works, lest any of you should boast. He said, I don't care how long you've been a Sunday school teacher. You can't boast about your works. You didn't work upon grace. It doesn't matter how long you've been preaching. You can't preach upon grace. God gives it to you. He gives you his grace. So don't go boasting about how long you've been in this, how long you've worked and served. And you did that because you recognize that God has already done something for you. And because God, you understand that God has done something for you, you just ought to have to do something for him. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a great fall. Better be careful about being proud. Better be careful about boasting and bragging, because if it had not been for the Lord equipping you and enabling you and empowering you, there's absolutely nothing that we would be able to do tonight. I need some people in here who knows you got it going on. You know God has blessed you. You know you made some advancements in life, but you can testify it wasn't nobody but God. It was nobody but the Lord. He said, listen here, don't boast, don't brag. It was nobody but God. When you were sick and got well, it was because of God. When you were broke and he paid your bills, it was nobody but God. When there was times you never knew if you'd get over depression, but God. There were times you never knew if you'd get another job, but God. There was some times where you never thought people would see you for the person that you are, but God, but God, but God. If the grace of God is not enough, by the time he gets to verse 10, he says, the reason why you're making such advancements is because you are God's handiwork. When I show up, I'm just trying to show God off. When I show up, I want to point somebody to Jesus Christ. When I show up, I want them to know it was nobody but God. When you sing that solo, you point it to the Lord. When you preach that sermon, you say it was nobody but the Lord. When you go to work for the rest of the week, you testify it was nobody but God. The Bible says promotion does not come from the east or the west, but promotion comes from the Lord. Stand with me tonight. My time is up, but if you could give me just a little bit more time, I want to share one last piece of information with you tonight. If you can't get happy about grace, if you can't get happy about the craftsmanship of God, you can't get happy about the fact that he is working through you to accomplish his will in your life, by the time you get down to verse 13, he said, the only way you get brought back in, because you were excommunicated, because you were separated, disconnected, disjointed, the only way that you get back in is because of the blood of Jesus. Paul said that the blood of Jesus has brought you back into relationship with God. Because let's be clear, you were guilty, you were stained by sin, but when you got covered by the blood, God did not look at your sin. He looked at the Savior who covered your body with the blood. And because of the blood of Jesus, you now have access into relationships with God. And somebody ought to start praising right now, because even when the enemy tried to take you out, he couldn't get at you then, because you were covered by the blood. When the doctor gave you that diagnosis, you were covered by the blood. When you thought all hope was lost, you were covered by the blood. His blood covers me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We're going into a season of prayer, because prayer still works. I wish I had somebody in here tonight that has a testimony that's living off answered prayers. You're surviving because somebody prayed for you and God answered that prayer. Not only does prayer still work, but the word still works. If you get some word in you, you can stand up like a mighty force and be reckoned with, because God has some word on the inside. And the Bible says that his word will never return to him in void. I'm trying to tell you, prayer still works tonight. I'm trying to tell you, the word still works. But on this Tuesday night, you already know how I'm going to go. I'm going to close this message. I need everybody to understand the blood still works. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never, come on, say that with me, it will never, It will never lose its power. Is there anybody in here that's covered by the blood tonight? Anybody in here tonight thankful for the blood? Anybody in here grateful for the blood tonight, redeemed by the blood? Then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're still standing. Saint of God, you're still surviving. You're still testifying that God is good. God is worthy. God is able. Not because you've done so much good, not because you can hold a microphone, not because you can teach a Sunday school class, not because you can take up the most fundraising or cook the best food. Don't get me wrong, that's all good stuff, but it's not because of that. It's because of God. Tonight I want to leave you with this. Here's your testimony tonight. But God. Worship with us as we sing this song.